Oh, okay, go. Ethnically ambiguous bonus episode time.
Whoa, it's a Wednesday and here we are again.
It's Shireen and Anna and we have a very special guest.
Sophia Alexandra. That's her.
Stay tuned.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Ah, Shireen, so good to see you here today.
You too. It's been a whole day.
Yeah, it's crazy. Oh, this is a great bonus episode. Mm-hmm. We are so happy to be here. We have special guest Sophia Alexandra.
Wow. Yeah. I'm so a beat in your version of me.
It's an Iranian thing. It's a Persian thing. Really.
Yeah, it is weird. We always say everyone's name in that weird way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you have to go, like, up, down, like, up, down, up,
sometimes down. Sometimes when you're saying Arabic names, but, like, with your Persian way of saying it, it sounds so interesting. Because I wouldn't say it that way, which is
Yeah, so I'm Ana Hossein. Oh, wait, I almost said my Iranian last name. I'm Ana Hosniye.
I like it.
How do you say my name?
Shireen Younes. I don't know why. I don't know why they do it.
It makes me feel like I'm in a pageant.
Yeah, definitely not Arabic. I'm just Shireen.
Shireen. Well, thank you for joining us
today.
Thank
you so much for having me.
Thank you.
You know, I'm a big fan of you guys and the podcast.
Well, we're a big fan of you.
We are.
We're just... The audience can't see this, but we're mutually masturbating each other under the table right now.
Yeah. You know what? And that is podcasting.
And that is my hand. Yep, that's my hand. But we actually both met you on your podcast. That was the first time you met her?
I had met you in the past when I booked you on something very briefly.
Yeah.
But didn't really speak much or really interact.
No, it wasn't a real meeting. Mm. And I always... When I met you in person, I was like, man, she's probably so annoyed by getting all my booking emails. That's why I was like, nice to meet outside of that.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh, she like, just now... knows me as someone asking her for stuff.
Yeah, you know? And now I was like, and now she's asking to book me. Yeah. Ugh, it's never ending.
Friendship, so tiresome.
Yeah. But being on your podcast was so fun. It's called Reality Bites, and mm-hmm. you co-host it with Courtney. Yeah.
Yes, Courtney and I have been... besties and writing partners for like 7 years.
She's very special
and Reality Bites is like our podcast about sex, love, dating and relationships in the digital age, and it was so cool to have you guys come on and talk about your relationship shit and being queer and being brown and all the
stuff. Well, it's interesting because when I was talking about my shit, you related to a lot of it, so I was like, someone else exists like me.
It felt so cool. I was like, she is like young me. It feels amazing to look into a young mirror.
So I'm excited.
And then I wore her skin out of the studio.
Oh, whoa.
Wow. Well, also, you guys have a third host, Dave.
We do. Right, Dave. He's like a... he's more of the male correspondent. He comes on, to bring us dispatches from single man land.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, wow. I'm excited to get to know your side of everything, because if you got to know me so intimately, now it's the opposite. We're going to get to know you.
Oh, my God.
So, Alexandra is not your last name.
No. That is a modified version of my middle name. So, in Russia, the way that the names go is like it's your... middle name is your patronymic. So, like, my father's name was Alexander. So, my full name in Russian is Sofia Alexandrovna Goldstein. My last name is Goldstein, which is Goldstein, which is essentially Goldstein, which no one said to me when I moved here. I was filling out all the paperwork. So, I ended up with my name spelled, I did it myself. So, I'm saying it like someone else did it. No, I ended up with a name that I spelled on my own, Goldstein.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
No one was like, hey, it's just Goldstein here.
What about your mama?
She didn't know.
Yeah. Oh, she spelled it the same way you did?
I mean, we moved here. We didn't speak English enough to like know. Yeah. And that's why my first name is also spelled weird. It's like spelled phonetically.
Yeah. I like the way it's spelled.
Thank
though.
You. I like it too now. But like before, I was like, when I found out that's not how you do it, I was like, ugh, I'm damning myself to a lifetime of telling people, no, it's F-I-Y-A. Yeah. But it's because there's a Russian letter, Ya, which is Y-A, like to make it in English.
Right.
So that's what I did. My name is Sophia. So I just spelled it.
I mean, like it makes more sense the way you spell it when I think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you break it down by sounds, it makes sense. But
but
looking Sophia. Wise, you're like, he could have just taken that Y and thrown it right in the trash.
That's why a lot of my family on my dad's side, or even my both sides, our names are all spelled differently because we all spelled them differently when we got here.
Yeah, there's no like, there's no like officer of, what is it, like consistency that's just standing there by the documents being like, no.
Yeah.
You mean this. But actually, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I'm not at all sorry. No. So, but I did get rid of Goldstein for comedy because I was like, I'm asking a lot here. You're going to misspell Sophia already. So, and then I've never met my father. So I was like, I'm not going to keep Alexandrovna for no fucking reason. So Alexandra, I really like. Yeah. So that's what it
is
now.
So you're from Ukraine.
Yes. Technically, okay. I'm from Odessa, Ukraine. But when I was growing up until it switched to Ukraine, it was just like, I was from the USSR, so.
Yeah.
And I'm from a port city that mostly speaks Russian, so never really felt particularly Ukrainian.
What do they speak in Ukraine?
Ukrainian.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always thought they just spoke Russian.
No. Ukrainian and Russian are different.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
They share a lot of the alphabet, but not all of it.
I think of it as like Persian and Arabic, honestly. Because there's the same alphabet, like almost.
Yeah.
Slight variations, but not the same language.
I didn't know that.
And you can understand, like, if you speak one, you can understand a lot of the other, but not everything. Some words are just variations on words, like pronounced differently, but some are completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And people say that Ukrainian's a lot more lyrical than Russian.
Yeah.
Like but Persian.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, I don't know if people could tell the difference for it either.
In northern Iran, they speak a dialect of Turkish. So, but it's like if you could go to Turkey and speak that Turkish that we speak in northern Iran, but there's like, you know, it's a little bit of a mashup. Yeah. People will know immediately, like, oh, you're from northern Iran and I'm going to be racist towards you because this is Turkey.
It's funny. Vibe. No, because there's so many dialects even in the Middle East. Like, there's Egyptian Arabic, there's Iraqi Arabic, there's Syrian Arabic. It's just so...
Oh, yeah. All the Arabics are different.
They're just dialect, like very slight... It's like an accent, like a Midwestern accent.
But would you have... Can you tell the difference?
Yeah, I can.
Okay,
But I think... If someone didn't know a lot of Arabic or like wasn't familiar with the types of countries how they spoke, they probably wouldn't understand the difference because the news speaks in a very standardized, standardized Arabic.
I feel like a lot of the news that I watch that's Russian is like some of it's standardized and some of it to me sounds so Muscovite that I'm just like, oh my god, that isn't the
Muscovite. Yeah, explain what that means.
It's just like it's a certain like intonation of like. To me, it's like, compared to where I'm from, I don't know, to them, they're probably like, what is she talking about? We're correct. But, you know, they'll be like, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like, people from Odessa don't speak like that.
Yeah.
And also, people say that Odessa is like super Jewish, and Jews just answer a question with another question. So, like, our intonations are more like, meh.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Question mark at the end.
Yeah. Everything's just a question.
Wait, so is there any sort of beef between Russia and Ukraine? Like, the people, like, is there any sort of like, oh, we're kind of racist or we're a little prejudiced against anyone?
Yeah. I think Russians and Ukrainians frequently don't. Like, are specific about if you misidentify them, I'll be like, no, I'm Ukrainian, not Russian.
Well, because Ukraine made a big, like, they wanted to separate from the USSR very badly. And so I think that independence is something they really hold on to, right?
Yeah. I mean, and Ukraine has a really rich culture of, like, literature and just a lot of things that are pretty beautiful about it. So I can see why it's a big deal. But as a Jew growing up there, it's like, you're not considered either. Like, when you're born... they like your birth certificate has your ethnicity on it. It's like called the fifth line or Pyataya Grafa. And then they write on there like if you're Russian, Russian, if you're Ukrainian, Belarusian, whatever. But if you're Jewish, they write Jewish. So it's like a straight up way to
let you know
you're not a part of anything. Yeah. So when people are like, oh, do you care? Did I offend you that I just said you were Russian, not Ukrainian? I'm like, neither of them want me. I don't care at all either way.
So you were born in Ukraine?
I was.
And how old were you when you and your mom came here?
I was 11. So it was right between summer between 6th and 7th grade.
That must have been a really hard age.
The best time to move.
I know.
I have one question. So why did they speak Russian in your town?
Because that's just how it broke down geographically. It's not the most Ukrainian place.
Oh, I see.
And it's more international because it's a port city. And I think Russian was more the prevailing language.
But can you speak Ukrainian?
I used to be able to.
Oh, it's just kind of.
Now it's kind of like faded. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure if I went back, I'd speak it in like a matter of months. Because it's, you know, they teach it when you're like so young too.
Yeah. It's just easier to absorb a language when you're in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go back to Russia for that reason so I can improve my Russian.
Yeah, I need to go back to improve my Russian.
Let's go!
I talk with my family, but it's just limited. You know, you're not saying different words.
Also, you don't have like broad conversations. Mm-hmm. It's all very like...
It's all just like very everyday.
Yeah.
So whenever I like go to my grandpa's, he only watches Russian TV because he only speaks Russian. So I always hang out and watch it with him. And it's good for my Russian to watch it because... Yeah. It's not that I don't understand. I understand everything. Mm-hmm. But if I watch the news or something and it goes at a fast clip and the concepts are like more difficult, I find I'm like, you know, just a quarter second behind or something. And if I watch it for like an hour, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm back. But yeah, you forget that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Watching movies and TV is easier because it's not just a stream of information coming at you. It's just like how people's interactions are, and I can watch that no problem.
Mm-hmm. So who did you come to America with?
Just my mom.
Okay.
I've never met my dad, so it's always just been my mom and me. And we moved together because... So the way that you could only come over is like someone who is directly related to you had to send a guest visa for you. It's the only way you could get out as a refugee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Someone had to sponsor you, basically. So who was a direct relative. So my grandma... my grandfather's sister moved to Los Angeles in the 80s and then sent us a guest visa to come over. So because she was directly, she's a sister of my grandpa. And then he could bring us over because we are, my mom and her sister are his kids and we are the grandkids. So everybody is connected directly. So you kind of then could lift out the whole family unit.
So your grandpa came first?
Your
aunt or your
grandpa's
sister.
It just ended up that and my mom came first. Oh. And then like 2 or 3 years later, the rest of my family came. My grandma, my grandpa, my aunt, and my cousin.
What was her motivation to come here?
Well, basically, she's just like, things are not that great for Jews in Russia ever, you know?
Yeah.
And basically, she's like, I just want you to have more opportunities than I did. My mom graduated with a silver medal from her school, which means like... in Russia, they're just so goal-oriented. It's like you graduate best, like valedictorian, salutatorian kind of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's like gold, silver, and bronze medal or whatever.
It's so competitive.
Like the Olympics.
We're just like, we're always just preparing for the Olympics.
Yeah.
So yeah, so my mom graduated with a silver medal and then she like couldn't go to medical school because she had a Jewish last name and they just like wouldn't take her.
That's fucked up.
So yeah, then she ended up being a computer programmer, which is super different.
Yeah.
So I think she was like, I don't want that for you. I want you to be able to like do whatever. And then she regretted that when I decided to become a comedian.
She's like, God damn, we gotta go back
to
Ukraine.
She's like, Sonia, nursing school, UCLA, only 2 years now. And you start program.
Still? She does talk about that kind of stuff?
I mean, not within the last couple years, but up until pretty recently.
Yeah. I mean, my parents do. They're always like, law school?
Yeah, same.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
Wait, so did you, as a kid, were you excited to move or were you like, I'm not, I like where I am?
I loved like my childhood and stuff. It's weird to think about because there's like definitely like we were super poor and like had a lot of like kind of fucked up things that were like just usual to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a really good life. I don't know. It didn't feel like I was missing out on anything.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed school. Like I was a real nerd. I was like straight A's and I did ballet every day. Just the most Russian childhood you can imagine. And so I felt like pretty happy. Mm-hmm. And I went from like being a popular kid to like being the most like like weird immigrant child that everybody was like, ugh. She doesn't know how to use deodorant. She doesn't shave her legs.
Oh, no.
You know, shit like that. That
11's
just was
a
immediately.
Tough age.
That's so
the most
bad.
Awkward age yeah. to be, to like transplant yourself somewhere else.
I had curly bangs. Yeah. I had glasses, you guys.
You probably had an accent. Yeah. I definitely had an accent.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
It was pretty
brutal.
Yeah. And you guys came straight to LA? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. why just because you had family, like your...
Because our family was here. That was, like, who we stayed with. And that was, like, our base of operations to, like, start.
That's so Russian. Base yeah. of operations.
Yeah, we stayed with my great aunt and her husband. And then my mom and I got, like, a single in Hollywood at, like, La Brea in Hollywood, pretty much in the heart of things, like, right off of El Cerrito. And, yeah, it was, like, not a great neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
The house next door to us was on the news for, like, drugs all the time. I think it was, like,
a
drug den.
And then from...
But it had a pool, our apartment building. And I was like, I am the richest child yeah. in the world.
There's water that isn't frozen.
So was your mom able to... Like, what did she end up doing when she came to America?
So basically, she had to start over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she, like, took... ESL classes uh-huh. and then, like, you know, had, like, under the table kind of gigs while we were on welfare. So I helped her, like, clean houses and clean our relatives' apartments for money.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did, like, bookkeeping that was, like, on the down low for, like, a couple businesses. And then she slowly took, like, computer classes and worked her way back up to, like, computer engineer.
Oh, wow.
So my mom's a software engineer.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Wow. It's pretty cool. She's
pretty
amazing.
Probably took a long road to even get
yeah.
there.
Yeah. It's really, really cool. I could not, like, be prouder to have yeah. been brought up by, like, someone that's amazing and strong.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I could have done what she did. Move somewhere your 40s with a child.
Yeah.
And, like,
restart
everything.
Yeah.
I mean, still, like, I think my mom and I have, like, PTSD from being poor. And it just is, like, even though, like, I don't live the same life now, it sometimes takes a while to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way I feel when, like, I get a ticket or a bill that I don't expect is, like, my visceral reaction is to just, like, completely emotionally just take, like, a dive.
Aww.
Like a nosedive. Like, I get sweaty immediately. Like, I start calculating in hours how many hours of work it'll take me to. And then I'm like, wait a minute, that's not a thing anymore. Like, I don't have to worry in the same way. You know, it'd be like, oh my God, like a parking ticket would, like, break me. You know, $69. I'm like, oh my God, what?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of shit was just, and I feel like, you know, even though things are, like, better and getting better, it's hard for me to still remember that. And then, like, I feel it extends to me filling out paperwork. I put that stuff off because it's just so triggering of all the paperwork I've had to do for my whole family mm-hmm. for years and years and years. I still help my mom do her work reviews for her job because her, like, English isn't great, you know?
Yeah.
She does her job and she's great at it, but, like, an American style review where they're like, what were your strengths from the past year? And, like, what are some of the things you're looking forward to? Tell us what your teammates could do better. My mom will, like, write it in what she thinks is okay, but it's, like, a goddamn nightmare. And she, like, forwards it to me. And every year I do her, like, computer job evaluation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, what is black box testing?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, I literally don't understand what you're trying to say. But, you know, and then filling out all my, like, forms for, like, when I applied to college, my mom didn't want me to go away to school, so she was not filling anything out. So I filled out the FAFSA for her.
Oh my God, FAFSA.
Literally every.
I get PTSD by hearing the word FAFSA.
Dude, I know, it's the worst, right?
Yeah.
I forged her signature on every single college application.
Same here.
Every single everything.
Yeah.
So I just feel like if I don't ever fill out another form until I die,
you'll be fine.
I will still have hundreds. Like, if you prorate all the forms I filled out so far, I'll probably still have enough to last me till I die.
Where did you end up going to college then?
I went to GW, George Washington University in D.C.
Oh, you did? Well,
yeah.
You went far away.
I was like, as far as my scholarships will take me.
Yeah.
It was between them and BU for how much money I was getting. So I went with Washington, D.C. because I was like, I wanted to be a Supreme Court justice.
Oh, fuck yeah. My mom still has hopes for me being the next Judge Judy. I'm going to have to break her heart.
Yeah, my mom would love it if I just, like, became a lawyer tomorrow.
Yeah.
That would be so great.
Because
I thought I was going to do that because I got illegally arrested when I was in college doing activism.
What?
Tell us about that.
Yeah. I was at a World Bank IMF protest with the Black Bloc while I was doing, you know, my anarchist organizing in college.
You're a badass.
Thanks. And we got arrested. Basically, they were trying to it was the weekend that peace march happened on Dick Cheney's house. That was like 100,000s of people or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty much an entire weekend of protesting. It was like planned out from Friday to Sunday events. And I think we know now what happened is they were trying to take all the protesters off the streets on Friday so no one would be around for the other actions, and it looked like, you know, it wasn't a big deal.
Business as usual.
Yeah, so they had been training cops in like riot gear and stuff for months before all the protests, and then later like all this was found out, like they had buses with like numbers prepared for all the people they were going to arrest just sitting around. So I got arrested, you know, at like 7:30 or 8 in the morning. You know, I'd been on the street for like just a half hour, maybe. Yeah. I was planning to go into work at 11. Like, I had shit to do, you know. I was I'm going to go do my actions, be a responsible person, go to Ticketmaster, do my shift.
Yeah.
And then instead, like, we got arrested super quick. And what they did was illegal. They basically were like, get off the street into the sidewalk. Get off the sidewalk into the street. And we were like, okay, well, those are the only two options. I don't really know what you want us to do.
Yeah.
And then they were like, okay, disperse or you're going to get arrested. And then they covered all the places where you could disperse.
Oh,
so
no.
All the alleys, all the streets. Then they slowly pushed us towards the wall of like outside of Citibank. And then because like they were literally crushing people to the wall, the glass behind us busted from like the pressure, and they were like, someone threw a brick, arrest them.
Oh my god.
So immediately they just like started, you know, we tried to do the human chain thing. Yeah. They like batoned my backpack off of me, never saw it again.
Oh my god.
Had all of my documents, my legal resident alien card, my ID, my social security card, everything.
Oh
my house
god.
Keys. I never saw it again, never got it back. They put all of us on like one of the city buses. They took us away to the White Plains Police Academy, and we just were held in a gym for over 12 hours, zip tied our right hand to our left foot. And whenever you wanted to pee, if you were a girl, the cops would make you jump on your one hand with your one foot with your hand connected towards the entire length of the gym, and then they would like talk about your titties while you did it. And then only while you got at the end of the gym would they snap the zip tie and then like lead you to the porter potty outside. I mean, just all kinds of little shit like that. When they put the zip ties on me for the ride to the police academy, they did them so tight that they cut into my skin.
Oh, no.
And they were behind me, you know, the whole ride. And then my hands started turning blue.
Oh my god.
And everybody was like, hey, you should, you know. And they had like, you know, 50 of those at their like belt. They're like, just put another pair on, like her hands are turning blue. They totally ignored us. Then everybody was like doing the whole thing where you address them by badge number, which they're like, they're like, no, they're supposed to reply, whatever, they don't.
Yeah.
So finally they were like, go to the front of the bus, because we had pulled in, but they were processing other people off other buses. And they had the bus driver put on gloves, rubber gloves, and started massaging my hands that were still behind me blue. I'm like, well, that's not how blood flow works at all.
God.
And I go, I'm like, don't you feel ashamed? I'm like, what if I was your daughter? And she goes, my daughter knows way better than to protest on the street. And I was like, well, that's kind of a fundamental American right.
Yeah.
She's like, my daughter would write a letter.
Ugh.
I'm like, bitch, I write letters.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. So finally, when it was time to process me, they couldn't get the zip ties off of me, and they had to cut through my skin to cut them off.
God.
So I was just bleeding from my wrists. Nobody gives a shit. Then they have the U.S. Marshals process you, where you literally like have to take your pants off, squat and cough, and they yell at you.
God.
They go, squat, cough. And I'm like, I don't understand what they're saying. They're like, squat, cough. I'm like, I don't know what the words are. Finally, they were like, squat and cough so we can make sure you don't have anything stashed up your pussy. I was like, oh, got it. So then, we basically were held in DC City Jail. So I got arrested on Friday morning. I didn't get out of there till I didn't get out of DC City Jail until like 1 a.m. on a Saturday, which is, I guess, technically already Sunday. And while I was there, like, so the entire time I was in the police gym, I had half of a bologna sandwich, which is like insane and illegal. And then they had no options for people that didn't eat meat, or pork. So they were like, fuck yourselves. And then the next day when we were held at city jail, they put all of the girls in one cell, and then they like gave us 2 bagels to share between 20 of us. And at that point, a bunch of girls were already like sick because we hadn't really eaten. Mm-hmm. And the ones that had eaten bologna for the first time, they were like, some of them were like, yeah, I haven't had meat in 20 years. Yeah. And they're just throwing up bologna in jail. Just from like going to a World Bank IMF protest because we were like, the loans are unfair.
Yeah.
Developing countries can't pay them back.
Yeah.
Basically, at one point we were chanting for food. Me, Starhawk, who's this like legendary organizer, and just a couple other girls. And then they came in and they were like, if you don't shut the fuck up, we're going to come in there and tase you. And we kept chanting. So they came in there with a taser. We like, you know, locked arms, like, went down. Then they took me and Starhawk out. They were like, those are the leaders, get them out of there. Put us in a separate cell. And while they were walking us there, they were like, okay, let's put shackles on them. So for like a split second, they put shackles on my hands and feet until some man, I still don't know who, in a tie, came up and talked to them. And then they unshackled me and her and then put us in a cell by ourselves. And we were like, oh my God, no one can see what happens to us here. It's like, we're apart from everybody else. Like, they could do anything and no one would ever fucking know. So we were terrified they wouldn't call our names when it came to, like, arraign us.
Yeah.
They started arraigning at, like, 11 p.m. and it went for hours because they illegally arrested over 600 people.
Oh, my God.
And so finally, they arraigned me. They had assigned me a city lawyer that was, like, when they brought up what my charges were, which was basically crossing the street without a permit. It's always like the bullshit thing that they give to protesters. Parading without a permit, basically, is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the city lawyer was like, hey, don't you also want to charge her with rioting, like you said earlier?
Oh my
I was
God.
Like, dude, are you with me? What the fuck? And then he called me Mr. Goldstein.
What the fuck?
I was like,
fuck?
My titties are the least forgettable thing about me. And it was so weird. I was like, shut up, dude. And then they were like, arraigned me on just the parading without a permit thing. And then basically it took me a year, but they brought me back to D.C., and by they, I mean the ACLU and the National Lawyers Guild, and I was a class representative for a class action lawsuit against the police Metropolitan Department of D.C.
Wow.
And we won, and they had to change a law of how they hold people that they've arrested. Like, you can't do the zip tie bullshit anymore. And they purged our arrest records as a part of it, which was the other thing that we fought for. And it was really crazy. I had to come to D.C. and I spent 6 hours testifying to the D.C. lawyer. And this was already like at least a year later. And they were like showing me maps being like, what was the parade route?
Yeah.
I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
They were like, which block? Is it this block or this block? And then they were trying to be like, you're an anarchist, right? What does that mean? That means you were trying to do shit that day, weren't you? And I was like, why would you say that? Because I was wearing all black.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not enough indication. So, yeah, it was a nuts thing. And it was like a great victory that also was super hella traumatic.
Yeah. That sounds like it. Wow. Well, that's so what year was that?
This was 2003, I want to say.
Jesus
Holy
Christ.
Shit, Sophia.
Wow. Well, that is an amazing story. I'm glad
you
guys
won.
Sorry,
that was a long ass story.
No, that was great. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. And we're back.
Yeah, I hope you guys thought about that story long and hard like we have. Holy shit, Sophia. That's insane. that.
Were you in contact with your family at all during that time? Like your mom or like did she know what was going on when you were in?
Only way later.
Wow.
Because it was just like, I knew she would be so worried.
Yeah.
Because it was the Patriot Act was at the time. And I was like, oh, they're going to deport my ass.
Yeah. But no, but so fucked up. If you lost all your paperwork, then what happened then?
I had to come back on break and reapply for everything.
Oh.
Like, to LA and go to like the federal building and all that bullshit.
Yeah, to get all your stuff back.
Yeah, it sucks.
That sucks.
What did your mom say about it afterward?
I mean, she wasn't happy. Yeah. You know? I think like... It's almost like I was tempting fate by like doing exactly the thing she moved me out of Russia to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And but also tempting fate because she probably wanted you to, didn't want to jeopardize your staying here.
No,
right?
Of course. Yeah. She was, but you, like, no one could have predicted it would have gone like that, I guess, except for my mom, of course, could have because she predicts the worst. So
yeah.
She probably was like, I knew right away you were going to get arrested.
Yeah. So what did you end up studying in school then?
Russian and English.
Okay.
Nice. Pretty boring.
No, that's great. Did you know you're going to want to do stand-up or comedy?
No, but I'd been writing my whole life.
Okay.
And then I was like, all of this is kind of funny. So I was like, oh, okay.
When did you think that you can translate that to stand-up?
After I'd been doing improv and I was like finishing my classes at Iowa West, RIP, that's Improv Olympic for people.
I was gonna ask, but also like I was
sorry, it's like UCB or Second City or anything
right there.
Like that.
It's down the street from where we used to, where we record.
Exactly, it's literally like half a block away from here. Or used to be.
So you're interested in performing?
Like, yeah, I mean, I always was like, I'll present the project, teacher. And I did like plays and stuff. But I just don't think that I knew that it was like comedy for a long time. I just think like writing and performing, that sounds great. But I was never like, I want to be an actor because I'm like, I've seen people in LA who really want to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not that. Like, I still want to act now, but I feel like less entitled to it or something than people who are like, I've been taking Meisner technique for 18 decades.
Yeah.
You know,
those
feels
people
weird
are
to
kind
just
of
be
the
like,
worst. To be honest.
Yeah, they are the worst.
Oh, serious actors who haven't made it yet are
so
your
worst. So I was just
nightmare.
Like, oh, I don't know. Can I do some, you know? And then I was like, why is like everything I'm writing kind of like funny? And then improv was so much fun. And then one of the guys in my improv class was like, I run a stand-up show. Do you want to come do it? And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, me talking just by myself? That sounds great.
That sounds like a dream.
What led
I was
you
like,
to
I don't
improv?
Have to schedule a rehearsal or like coordinate with five people, get a rent a teacher in a space. I was like, the overhead in stand-up. Yes.
Oh.
It's so much work. It's so much less overhead in stand-up. I'm like, oh, I can just come and talk
and
here?
And then leave?
That's truly like someone that was poor growing up being like, this is the better route.
I know, right? It's such a low overhead decision. I was like, no, financially, this makes sense.
So what originally brought you to improv then? Like, how did you hear about that?
How did I hear about it? Oh, I think my best friend at the time was really into it. I'd gone and watched improv in high school a lot. I actually went all the time, and we were like the only high school kids that would show up.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm thinking about how funny it seems to think of them as such adults. They were like in their 20s.
Yeah.
But I was 16, so I was like, this is so cool. Yeah. They like kept Twinkies and Cokes in their fridge so we could like come. Because sometimes we'd be the only audience, you know? But we felt very cool. We were like high school kids watching adults do improv. So I feel like I knew about it then, but I didn't think it was anything that was like for me, I guess.
Especially
until
in
much
LA.
Later. Yeah. And then, my friend was in love with it. And I was like, oh, well, I guess like I can do that.
Yeah. Did your mom ever go to an improv show?
No.
Did she know you
were doing
my mom
never
that?
Even met any of my teachers in school.
Oh.
It's a single mom thing. She's like, okay, do you want food, shelter, or for me to meet Mrs. whatever her face?
Wait, so where'd you end up going to high school? You said you went on scholarships.
Yeah, I went to Milken Community High School, which is like the rich Jewish high school.
Well, the Milkens.
Yes.
Mm.
Mm. Wait, who are the Milkens?
Storied history of defrauding
family.
Old people for some of their money.
That's amazing.
Michael Milken, that's what he's famous for.
Famous for what?
For defrauding people of their, out of, he's the original Ponzi.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Before, what's this, the guy that everybody...
What's his name?
Oh my God. the most famous embezzler?
HBO movie where Robert De Niro plays him.
Thank you, Bernie Madoff. Yes, God damn Madoff. It. Yeah. So I guess the original Ponzi is Ponzi. But the second original is Michael Milken, and then Bernie Madoff just took it to the next level. Yeah. But yeah, he like stole all this money from like these pension plans and invested into things and whatever. It was non-existent. And then he got out and started a high school because he was like, you'll forget that.
Yeah. Right? And a foundation. Like that's his whole thing.
Wow. Milken Foundation.
Yeah.
Wait, can you tell us what you told us before we started recording, what someone said to you?
At your high school? Just to give a context of how rich these people
are. Yeah, so I was telling them, this is actually happened in eighth grade at a pretty private Jewish, this middle school, Sinai Akiba, shout out. Mm. Super Jewish sounding, way more Jewish than Milken. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was in a class and this girl, we were talking about welfare and Bill Clinton and whatever. That was what was in the news and she goes, I just don't think that poor people, and then she turns to me and goes, no offense, Sophia, deserve welfare. And I was like,
in front of the whole class.
Holy shit. She just said that in front of my entire class.
That's
she thought
horrifying.
She was being kind.
No offense.
No offense. That you're poor.
She's like, I said no offense.
So everyone knew you were on scholarship.
Yeah. I mean, if my like Ross bag with my lunch in it didn't tell them, and my 99-cent store shit. They like people would always like when I moved here be like, oh, you really love, and they would like insert the name of a Dodger player, and I'd be like, what? And then I realized all my folders were cheap 99-cent store folders that had all of the Dodgers on them. No. And I had no fucking idea who any of the Dodgers were. Yeah. And I was like forced to talk about like Hideo Nomo. Yeah. I was like, I truly have no idea.
You're just like totally.
Yeah, just poor shit that gives you away. Yeah. Like those people didn't even know about the 99-cent store, I don't think. They're like, what can you buy there? I'm like, literally anything. Yeah. You motherfuckers are missing out.
Yeah. Wow. How did you get, like, what made you, or like, I'm assuming your mom put you in that school?
Yes.
How did you get into there? Like, what's the process of getting into these schools?
So I just tested into them, I guess, and, or at least into the high school. I don't remember if I had to test into the middle school or if they were just like, it was really hip to help Russian Jews then.
Oh.
It was like the hottest thing around. It was like helping a Syrian now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it was
trendy.
Like, hot, hot, hot. Who's trending? Yeah. Oh, these poor ass Russian refugees? Throw some money at them.
Yeah.
Feel good. So people were like all about the Jewish Federation. And
so y'all
everybody.
Moved here at the perfect time.
Yeah. They were like, oh, these Jews are so hot right now. So yeah, that's how I got into that one. I'm pretty positive. But for a short time, for 7th grade, I went to Pacoima Middle School, which is entirely the opposite. I got bussed from Hollywood to Pacoima.
Where's Pacoima?
Pacoima is far as fuck.
Whoa.
My school still has, I think, like a C- or something accreditation if you look it up, that school, because I Googled it recently.
Oh.
And then I was like, this is really different from Russia, because I got there and they had like little boxes that said, you can put a note in here if you've seen anyone bring a gun to school. Don't worry, it's anonymous. And I was like, wow, real different
Whoa.
Than where I'm from.
So you went there for a year?
Went there for a year, and then from there, I went to the private Jewish
schools.
Your
mom was like, I'm taking you out of here.
I think she was.
Yeah, whoa.
So.
That's interesting. I do feel like immigrant parents will put everything... They will go out of their way to make sure you're in a private school. My parents did the same thing. Like, I went to, like, random Christian private schools.
You went to
and they
private
were like,
school?
Yeah, well, before I moved to out of the Bay Area, they would not let us go to public school in the Bay Area because they're like immigrants and we're like, you will start heroin?
Yeah,
and
my
fight.
Mom is exactly the same.
That's
Dude,
that.
All I heard when I was, and this is so funny to think about now, when we first moved here, is all the Russians were like, do not let your child go to Fairfax High. Fairfax High, all drugs, Fairfax High. And I'm like, then I met people who went to Fairfax High for the first time, and I was like in 11th or 10th grade. And I was like, oh.
Just normal people.
Just normal students. Got it. Got yeah. it. It's on also heroin. Pretty racist, I think. Yeah. They're just like,
oh no, it's
Russia is like all white people, and they're racist against like slightly brown people, yeah. like Armenians, Georgians, yeah. Azerbaijanis, anybody.
That's so, just how it is. My yeah, parents are the same way. Anyone who's darker than them, they're like, they're just like inherently racist because they're immigrants.
That's so sad, though.
So weird.
That's just the reality.
Yeah. So my mom was just hearing all this racist stuff about like, don't send your kids to school. Mm-hmm. They'll be in school with brown people and black people, and who knows what'll happen next. Maybe yeah. you lose your baby. Like, just crazy Holy stuff, crap. Which makes yeah. no sense. And also, my mom is not at all a racist person. Mm-hmm. And like some of my relatives are, for sure, still, and say things where I'm like, no, 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 mm-hmm. no. My mom, not a racist person, but just moved into a community where everybody is racist. Mm-hmm. And they were like, here's yeah. some racist things. You yeah. have to take at face value. It's the law.
Yeah.
And she was
yeah.
like, I don't know shit about America. Sounds good.
It's almost yeah. like survival. Like, yeah. yeah. You have to like adapt. Yeah.
She's like, maybe they learned those lessons for me.
Yeah.
Until she's like, oh, that was bullshit. Yeah.
But that's interesting because I went to private school when I was like went to Montessori school. Is that what it's mm-hmm. called?
Ooh.
Like very, for like 1 year when I was like, 5 or 6, but after that it was all public school. And it's interesting, I really relate to what you said. Like, I feel like as an immigrant daughter, like the daughter of an immigrant, and you're actually an immigrant as well, you teach your parents how everything works. Like, mm-hmm. whether it's college applications, whether it's,
because yeah.
they have no idea what's going on. They have no idea about the SATs and no. like anything. And so it's like you're both parenting each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wrote like this little entry that's just like a mini, like, tiny snapshot of what it felt like to move here. It's on my website. And basically, I wrote about how, like, my mom and I, just, like, that first year, we just hit our own unhappiness and, like, sadness and loneliness from each other because mm-hmm. we didn't want to be a burden on the other person. And that's how I think, like, we started growing apart. Mm-hmm. Because oh. I couldn't tell her, like, when I'm in school, I like just want to die. It's so miserable for me. Like, I don't have any friends. You know, I feel like literally I would put my head down in my arms during the day in seventh grade, like every day, just so somebody would talk to me and ask me if I was okay.
Aww.
That was like how badly I wanted to like talk and connect to people. It was, and I couldn't tell my mom that, especially yeah. when I was like a really popular and well-adjusted kid. And I didn't want to let her down by being like, oh, now I'm like in hell. And my mom yeah. was in hell too, fucking learning English, just trying to navigate every single mm-hmm. system, like trying to get my eye doctor straightened out because mm-hmm. I had like really bad vision, had to needed like new glasses every 6 months. People don't know like how many words you don't know yeah. to even yeah. like set something up like that or be like,
yeah.
where do I go? How do I get insurance?
Yeah.
You know, people teaching you about Medi-Cal. You're like, mm-hmm. I don't fucking know anything.
It's really confusing.
Oh, little baby Sophia just getting blinder and blinder. Like, you're just know, glasses right? getting thicker and thicker. And you're like, I'm not making any friends.
Dude, and my mom spent all of her money and got me hard contacts.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember. Yeah. Those were a goddamn nightmare. Just like pieces of plastic in your eye. And she was like, don't wash them in the sink. Just like washed them in a little like saucer or something. And I was like, okay.
Aww.
Washed them in the sink. First Lost one them. Went down the drain. Aww. I mean, it was like all of our money. It was like $200 or something. My mom screamed and yelled at me. And that was like the beginning of us like not getting along because mm-hmm. the stress of financial stuff was just too much. And then the loneliness and each of us just trying to like make it in the country was just so fucking hard. And I feel like it took us years to heal from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is your relationship like now with your mom?
I think it's good.
Yeah.
I think it's the best it's ever been, for sure.
How is she with your comedy now?
Like, she'll go to my shows and stuff, mm-hmm. especially like when I run one, she'll like come out.
Oh.
But she is also like pretty brutal. My favorite thing is if I call her after a show she's been to after, and I'm like, hey, mom, what'd you think? She'll be like, it was okay.
Yeah.
If she doesn't think it was great. And sometimes she'll be like, oh, love one comedian, Jackie, what's her name? I'm like, Jackie Cation. Yes, she hilarious. Yeah. Jackie hilarious. Yeah. I'm like, okay, well, what did you think of me? She's like, oh, pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, I think, she's not going to lie if she didn't enjoy
it. I think
it.
A lot of cultures that are American, they don't give false praise.
Yes.
They're really not about it.
Yeah, my mom is not a liar.
Yeah.
No.
And also her style is to tell someone else.
Yeah.
Not me. She's like, why should you find out I have good feelings towards you? Yeah. Like, you'll get big head.
Yeah. Yeah, not just like a healthy sense of self. Yeah, but no, you're right.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. My self-esteem is like very high. My mom has never entertained any notions of like building it, you know?
It's just that's nature versus nurture. You're naturally.
Right? I'm just like, no, I'm the shit despite this.
Yeah.
No, she's very encouraging, always thought I was awesome, but not the kind of person to ever say that to me.
I think, I mean, our cultures, I feel like, are like that too. Like, whether Anna's like Persian culture or Arab culture, there's no like. I feel like American culture is way too much on the opposite spectrum. Like, you're capable of anything you want, Billy. You can do whatever you want. Good job. You wish went poo. Yay. Like, I don't know.
I literally have a joke about that in my act about like people are like, what's the big difference between Americans and Russians? Like, what's the difference between growing up here and growing up there? And I'm like, well, you know, Americans, the second you jump out of your mom's vaginas, everyone's like, oh my God, what do you want to be when you grow up? If you can dream it, you can be it.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? Make dog jewelry? There's a market for that. What do you want to do? I forget my own joke. Whatever.
Yeah.
And what's the Russian side?
And the Russian side is basically that my biggest dream when I was a little kid growing up in Russia was basically, I'm like, okay, Sophia, you're going to grow up and become a beautiful and tiny woman that can fit inside a tinier woman. That can fit inside a tinier woman.
You want to be a babushka?
Yeah. No, those Russian dolls.
Russian nesting dolls.
That's a babushka.
I mean, and then I'm like, and then you got to buckle down and pray real hard. Oh, and then you're going to marry a guy that looks like all the bad guys in all the Bruce Willis movies. And then you're going to hanker down and pray real hard for him to die young from alcoholism so he doesn't beat you for too many years.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's too real. That's the joke.
Wow. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And we're back.
We're back.
We just had a very long discussion about eyesight.
And how blind we all are.
Yeah. Wow. I literally was going to ask you something, but now I can only ask you about your eyes. Wait, so I'm curious. You did say that if you can't get LASIK because it would make your eyes structurally unsound. What does that mean?
That means that they would have to. So, okay. When they fix your eyes with LASIK, if you have like, if you're nearsighted, it's like, that means the muscles stretched out instead of round, it's like oblong.
Yeah.
And they would have to cut it to make it into something round. But mine is stretched so
it's
thin
too far.
That they would just have to take too much of it out from what I understand.
Whoa.
For my eye to work.
That's
still.
Wild.
So then they just can't do that because it's too risky. You'll just go blind, basically.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, you can't.
They don't want that on their conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow.
So it's just a lifelong contact lens journey for me.
Yeah.
So, okay. Wow.
They're soft now. Don't feel sorry for
them. No more hard contacts going
they're
down
dailies,
the drain.
They're dailies, guys. I made it.
Oh, you wear dailies?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Hmm. What made you get dailies instead of like the 2 week?
I had the 2 week ones because I have cats and they have cat hair and shit. Just like my eyes.
I just want to get rid of them.
Your
they're
cats
just like,
are
keep
so
them.
Cute.
They're
you
so
do have
cute.
The cutest cats in the world.
Can you remind me of their names?
Benson and Stabler.
Oh.
Dun dun.
They're cops.
I obsessed with them
they
when
solve
I was over
sexual
there.
Crimes.
Or we both did.
You guys. My cats loved you.
I remember we were just literally, you guys were having like a conversation about your work and we were just there petting the cat for so long. And we were like, I guess we should go, but maybe they won't notice we're here for long.
We had finished recording. They were like, okay, we have to talk about some work stuff, some writing stuff. And like literally like in the same room, me and Anna were in one corner
like,
and you
on
and Courtney
the ground.
And Dave were like in the other. We're just like, pizza!
I was just excited that someone finally appreciated them as much as I do. Because Courtney does not give a fuck about my cats because she has a dog. I'm a dog and cat person, but that freak has to choose, and she's chosen. And she's just, like, so awkward around them. She's never once, I think, petted my cats on purpose.
Really?
I think she's done one of these.
like a slap.
Yeah.
She doesn't even know how to. It's like the same as petting a dog. Yeah. Corgi. I'm like, just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. But her dog's like a giant pit bull. So she just, I think, used the kind of force she does. Yeah. I'm like, no. They're 1/15th the size.
She's,
you can't
she's
do
used
that.
To having pets that are horses.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. She's like, you she can't probably weighs the like same that. As her dog.
Whoa. That's a dream of mine.
She's very tiny.
Yeah.
Not the dog, Courtney. The dog is very big.
So you're married.
I am.
Tell us about that.
Yeah.
Well,
everything, every detail. Okay. When did it start? How did you meet him?
Pretty
How
good.
Did he propose?
He's great. I love him. His name is Max. He, so we went to the same high school. We weren't friends.
Ooh.
But we had the same best friend.
Juicy.
His friend was his best friend since they were like born, essentially. And then he became my best friend in high school. And we'd like hung out in groups like maybe twice or something. And I never really gave a shit, you know? And he never really, I don't think, gave a shit either. But also, I think he was a little jealous because he's like, well, he's not hanging out with me. Who's he hanging out with? Oh, it's Sophia, which Sophia got, you know?
Yeah.
And then our friend got married after college in Indiana. And we both flew in for the wedding.
Yeah.
Me and Max, and our friend picked us up at the airport at the same time. Oh. So we were both in the back seat, like getting driven home. Yeah. And I looked at him and I was like, damn. I was like, Max Bornstein got hot. What?
Yeah.
And then basically he was there to take pictures for the wedding. I mean, he was there to be the best friend and everything, but also to take photos. And so I hung out with him the whole wedding, and then we stayed up to like 2 a.m. and I wrapped my original wraps for him.
Oh my God. And he was still interested.
I know. What a sucker. And then basically we flew. I was moving back to LA, so I flew back into and was staying with my mom, and he was living with his parents after college while he was trying to get his screenwriting career off the ground. And he pretty much asked me out like that first day that he got home. Whoa. And then we've been together ever since.
And your mom was like, he's Jewish? Cha-ching, yeah, we're exactly. doing this!
She's like, finally! Yeah. He's the first Jewish one.
Well, actually, I have a question about your history a little bit. Because I feel like I really related to you when we started talking about sexuality on your podcast.
Yes.
And how you kind of reconcile your queerness by now that you're with a male partner. Do you feel like, I don't know, kind of torn at all sometimes because you're with a man?
Well, I think it's like, I guess that in the way that it's the same as being straight, I assume, is that you will still be attracted to people who are not your partner, but being bi, I'm attracted to more people. So I just feel like my desire level might be like, also I'm just a very flirty and sexual person. So I think like I really need that energy regardless. Like even if I'm not hooking up with a woman, which like I'm not because I'm married in a monogamous relationship. For now. Max is listening to this in the car like, what? This is how I find
out. You heard it here first, Max.
Yeah. No, but, you know, I feel like it takes managing, like, desire and managing, like, attraction and knowing also that, like, you know, you are not who your partner is. You are who you've always been. And whether you're single or in a relationship or not, like, I'm the same person that I was when I was a child, and I noticed, like, doing ballet. I did ballet, like I said, like 5-6 times a week, literally. Like, well, that was what I did after school every day. So I grew up watching girls change around me all the time. Yeah. And I remember thinking, like, I'm, like, checking everybody out.
Yeah. That's,
like,
how I felt, too. I felt like a creep.
Yeah.
I was like, they have no idea.
Because, like, at first I thought everybody was doing it. And then I realized nobody else was doing it.
That's what I felt, too.
And it was so bizarre.
And then my sister thought I kept looking at people because I thought they... I wanted to be as skinny as them or wanted to be what I wanted to look like.
Yeah, I'm
like
not like
them.
Jealous of them.
Yeah, and I was like, that's not what I'm doing, but also like still as bad.
Like, you know, I'm fucking bi when I remember the first girl that got boobs in my ballet class. Mm-hmm. Her name was Sasha, and I was so excited for all of us because I would just literally watch them get slightly bigger all the time, and that was like a big deal to me, and I had such a crush on her. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know. I thought I was just wanted to do ballet as good as her, but also liked her boobs, but no. I just did not ever really care. And now I realize I had like a belated realization. So I did ballet for so many years. It's the only activity in my life that I did at that point that I was bad at.
Yeah.
I was solidly average at ballet and I kept coming back. Everything else in my life was based on how good I was at it. Like being a good student, being a good artist. Like, and I remember, you know, something kept bringing me back to ballet and I'm like, oh, it wasn't something. It was that I felt the closest to being gay there because I could just be around all women and have like private feelings about them and like watch them and like feel like I was getting close to them.
Yeah.
And I didn't care in that way about boys at that point at all.
Yeah.
Like my crushes on them were so much more chaste. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't want to do anything with them.
Yeah.
I just wanted them to like me.
Yeah.
Which was so much less deep than anything I felt about the women.
Yeah.
And it took me so many years to even realize like how much earlier that desire was, because when I was growing up in Russia, like no one was gay. Mm-hmm. Literally zero people are publicly gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's now like still like a crime. Yeah. People get killed. It's not really like the kind of thing where I could even look at one person in popular culture and be like, that person's gay. Mm-hmm. It was a punchline in all of our jokes.
Yeah.
How you say gay is like light blue, and how you say like for a man and for a woman it's light pink. So all the punchlines for jokes be like, why is so-and-so like this? Because they're light blue. Like that's what you knew.
Gullah boy?
That's not even a good joke.
Gullah boy.
Gullah boy. Mm-hmm.
You're like, that's a terrible joke.
Yeah.
Wait, but no, I feel like if you're like we're all for the most part in our cultures like raised in a very heteronormative society, so like I feel like our feelings for women, we didn't really understand what those were. We were just like, well, that's not possible, is it? Like I'm a woman, and then you realize later in retrospect that you're like, oh,
especially in immigrant communities,
yeah,
it's not really a thing anyone encourages you to be yourself.
No,
you
know? No,
yeah. Well, so did your mom? Do you ever introduce any of your, like, same-sex partners to your mom?
No.
Did she know?
I didn't really introduce many people to my mom, period, whether boy partners. Yeah, my mom really never met any of my boyfriends, except for, like, one in high school, and that was just so bad that, like...
Do you ever have a talk with her about your sexuality?
Yeah, but I think she was kind of, like, willing to wait it out, you know? I think she was relieved that I didn't say I was gay, but I think she was pretty worried because of the way I, like, looked and dressed, and she thought that was pretty gay, and I think she was just, like, relieved when I was, like, I'm bi.
Yeah.
And then I think she was, like, well, at first, like, alarmed, is this gonna stick? And then I think she was like, well, she's also punk rock, and she's also all these things, and she's also an activist, and she's also an anarchist. I'm sure she's gonna grow out of, like, 5 out of 7 of those or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think she was worried a little bit, but also kind of like had hope that I would meet a man.
Yeah. And then you did.
Well, has she met Max yet?
Yeah. Max is literally every mother's dream.
I was just going to say, he's like the ideal, like, great Jewish husband man. Like, he's just everything you someone like that would want.
He lets you have cats.
He wanted the two. I wanted one. God.
Whoa. He's even better than I thought.
I know.
Wow.
Can you imagine if we would have just had one?
Oh.
What a horrible fate.
But also, like, he really is an amazing person. Like, I went to your birthday, and just the way he interacts with his parents, you can just tell how someone is and how they treat their parents and how they treat, I don't know, their family or even just, like, in a more broad sense, like if you're on a date with someone, how they treat the wait staff.
It's
like how you treat someone is so...
It made me fall in love with him for sure. Yeah. Like even more when I saw how he was with his mom and dad. I was like, oh, wow. Like, I'm like, you didn't have any like problems? You didn't rebel when you were a teenager? He was like, I mean, I rebelled. I'm like, what? Did you have one fight with your dad? Yeah. He's like, yeah, it was pretty traumatic. I was like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, I had to walk out. I was like, I ran away from home numerous times.
Like every other week.
Yeah, like what are you saying? Yeah, but yeah. He's just like ultimate good boy.
Yeah.
TM.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. Opposites attract. Opposites attract.
It's so true. Yeah. I'm like confused that this is what he wants, but I mean, like, I think I'm amazing.
Yeah, well, you are amazing.
But I also feel like his life would have been so boring otherwise if he just went for someone like him.
No, deep down, he wants the excitement.
He wants
Sophia.
The excitement of being with a crazy person. Yeah. He's got it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he was like, these Russian immigrants are in right now.
Yeah. He was like, I gotta jump on this hottest trend. Yeah. Get myself one of those.
Yep. That's amazing.
And but also, I invested in him when he was still living with his parents, you guys.
Yeah, you did. You
got him out.
You saw an investment, and you took it.
I took it.
And
you know me and my low overhead.
Yep. I was like, it all comes back to that.
I was like, this stock is bound to go up. Yeah. Max is the original Google.
And you were like employee one.
You were the one that believed in the app, and you were like, I believe in
I was like, people are going to look for things on this later. No, well, believe me.
He has a good career, right? He seems like
he's great.
He does well.
He's got a way better career than me.
He's a screenwriter.
He wrote Godzilla and Kong Skull Island.
Yeah.
And just now we were.
Actually, I liked
some
Skull
notes
Island.
On Kong Skull Island. If you could give them. Could you imagine if I was that terrible? I was just like, yeah, could you give these to Max? Thanks. Yeah.
He would be delighted. He'd be
notes
like,
on
oh,
a
please.
Movie that came out already.
Yeah. I watched, he's like, please let me go back in time for this.
I watched Skull Island with my parents and they loved it too.
That's awesome.
Tell him.
I will tell him.
Please tell him. I watched the
parental,
it in theater.
The parental number is a number people don't refer to when it's like, how as well is box office doing?
Yeah.
But it's
no,
like,
I mean,
did Shireen's parents see
no, really, though. Like, I did
That's
not
a
care.
Fucking big move. My mom would never go see a movie
I did
like
not
that.
Care for The Greatest Showman. My mom loved it. She
that's
was obsessed
a mom
with
I'm sure my
loves
mom
Hugh
would
Jackman,
love that
loves
too.
Musicals. She's still mad at my dad for not taking her to Mamma Mia, like she just like is so like that's
I'm on your dad's side.
Like if my mom likes something, I know it'll do well. Like as far as like most of America,
my mom loves sad things and romance things.
My mom
and Lady Gaga.
Is she always like Max? Write something that's a little sad or romantic.
We're Russian.
She does not fuck with Max's money. She's like, whatever you're doing, please keep doing it.
Oh yeah,
that's because. Good. Your other half is a broke-ass comedian. Yeah.
Does she talk to, about you behind your back to him?
I mean, she does. Mm-hmm. I don't know why she thinks he won't tell me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's always weird.
She's puzzled. I'm like, you do know you guys aren't married.
Yeah.
She's like, Max, he's loyal to me.
Yeah.
Like, no.
But do you ever, when you first got together with him, were you self-conscious about being, like, the scholarship kid or, like...
He was also the scholarship kid.
Oh,
his
perfect.
Dad helped design the school on a napkin, and that's how my ex got to go
Holy
to school.
Holy shit. I just assumed if he... I mean, no, that makes a lot of sense.
No, yeah. We were the two poors. His parents had filed for bankruptcy when he was a kid and stuff, so he also had, like, crazy design, money, like, worry.
Oh.
So
I guess opposites... I mean, you guys had something in common. You had a similarity there.
Yeah, and we both are... Like, the Venn diagram of what we like is actually pretty dope because it's enough that we can share so much together, but also he likes some stuff I don't at all and vice versa, and we're pretty good at having separate hobbies and friends.
You need that, I think.
Yeah, and I'm really glad about that. Yeah. So I think it's, like, perfect. He's really into movies... I'm really into TV.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a drama guy. I'm a comedy person.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of little things like that where I'm like, I hate The Third Man. That's like a movie he loves that like he's just truly horrified that I do not like. Just things like that where, you know, we'll have enough stuff that we can argue about that it's like fun and also expose each other to things that are like different. Like, you know, I used to like basketball, but like he loves basketball, and now like together having someone else who likes basketball and who likes it even more than you, dude, now we're like the most basketball people of all time.
Do you guys go and sit courtside?
Dude, whenever he gets like guest tickets to the Lakers, bitch, you know I go.
That's amazing.
I was there just actually a couple weeks ago and watched LeBron play for the first time live, and it was the greatest ever.
You were on, in the middle of the court.
I mean, I was sitting on his
lap. They were playing around you. Yeah.
He had to, they called him for traveling a lot. They were just like, what are you doing, man? He's like, it's Sophia. I'm not even touching the ball. Yeah. No, it was awesome. Fucking great. And it was Chick Hearn Day. And they gave out, do you know Chick Hearn? He's the big basketball announcer. He's the best, right? And they give out Chick Hearn socks with a microphone on them. You have them too? Oh, great.
So Sophie is talking to Sophia.
Sophie and Sophie are bonding over Chick Hearn.
Over the Lakers games. Yeah. That's awesome. I've never been to... Actually, I grew up going to Warriors games, but they weren't good then. So.
They're great.
But you could say you were there then.
I was there.
The original hipster.
I played I played basketball growing up, and I would they would come.
Were you a jock?
Not really.
I can totally.
I was
see
like
you crushing a sport.
Well, I played rugby. I played rugby for years. I played D1 rugby in college.
Dude,
and then
you were fucking badass.
Yeah, I played at UC Davis. I played rugby.
I didn't know that. I thought you were just a soccer kid in high school.
I played basketball and soccer at the same time, and then I left soccer to play rugby full time.
Dude, rugby is like intense.
It was so fun. We were the number two in California, my team.
Holy
in high
cow.
School. In high school, we were number two in California.
Damn,
it was wild.
You brought your team to victory.
Yeah,
I mean,
you did.
My team brought it.
It wasn't
you.
Me. I wasn't I was the best. You would have been great at improv.
Yeah.
Because a stand-up person would be like, yeah, I really did. Yeah. I was the center of the whole team.
Yeah.
I was the heart.
Yeah,
yeah,
the team improv kind of vibe.
I mean, not officially, but
I was not the captain. But actually, I did, which was fun. When I was playing in college, I got to go back and coach my high school team a little.
That's
well,
so
like
cool.
Assistant coach it, which was
That's
fun.
That's so fun.
They were like, look, she made it out and she did good.
Yeah. Well, my high school coach turned out to be my college coach, too.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Know. She was just kind of around.
I mean, it is a small town.
Looking for all the
Davis
gigs.
Davis is pretty small.
See, like, I wish I was good at basketball because it's so fun.
I was not great. I kept dislocating my thumbs.
Oh, yeah.
I, like, didn't really want to catch a ball during rebounds for some reason. That was, like, the worst thing. Every time I'd go to rebound, they'd be like, you knocked your thumb out of the socket again? Dude, just grab the ball.
Yeah.
Or move out of the way and let it bounce and then grab it. Like, stop.
I just hated running so much.
Yeah.
I was always like, I'll just hang out here. They're like, no, Sophia, rush back. Rush back. I'm like, no, but the game will come back this way. They're like, that's not how basketball works.
Yeah, no, but what I was saying is the Warriors would come and do camps with us. Basketball camps with us. Yeah, I know. It wasn't the heyday, though.
Yeah.
It was like the, like,
That's still cool.
We're last place, basically.
Yeah.
That's still
cool.
Really cool.
No, my dad is obsessed with basketball, and I wish I was better at it so I could play with him. But now we have a basketball hoop in the, like, driveway that we just, like...
Sure,
like,
you hooping?
During Thanksgiving break, my parents and I and my little sister, we were just, like, playing horse.
Oh,
and,
shit.
Like, it was making up some shots.
Hooping.
Yeah, it was great. I felt like an athlete.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love that your Thanksgiving now has some hard hooping traditions.
Can you get a basketball and then we'll come hoop with you?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You just seem like you could afford it.
I
can't afford it.
Really
I also live in an apartment. You have a house.
I can put a hoop up for us, guys.
Please do.
Oh my God.
Let Max know we're coming over to hoop with him.
Yeah.
I'm like, Max, I don't know if you've heard, but ever since I did the Ethnically Ambiguous podcast, become quite a jock. Yeah. Not to brag. Just like, he's like, wear all the sleeves off your t-shirts. I'm like, I don't need them.
You just put around your head like a jock, like band. Like,
I'm just half naked in my driveway being like, skins, man, skins. He's like, no.
Max, it's like the neighbors called the police. You need to get inside right now.
Is there anything coming up in the near future that you're excited about that you can plug?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I am... doing comedy in Boise, Idaho this weekend. I'm leaving tomorrow morning.
This probably won't come out until this weekend.
Never mind. I will be in... I'm going to be in Bloomington, Indiana, featuring for Nicole Byer at the Comedy Attic. February 14th through the 16th.
Valentine's Day!
That's right. Who wants to be my Valentine?
Yeah, spend Valentine's Day with Sophia.
Seriously, I'll take shots with you. I don't give a shit. I'll be alone.
She's super fun. She's super fun. She likes long walks on the beach. She,
I like candlelight. I like kitties and doggies.
Yeah, chocolate, flowers. Go seduce her.
Sweep me off my feet, you guys. Mm-hmm. Shireen already did with her words.
Where can people find you on the internet?
I am The Sophia everywhere. THESOFIYA.
Follow her, you guys. She's so funny. Go see her comedy.
Yeah, she's very
funny.
Listen
to Reality Bites.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. Come listen to the podcast. Reality Bites. Yeah. Bites with a Y.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, like
classic.
Techie Bites. Like it's a techie bite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. That's wild to me. I just thought you guys were just being funny.
You're like, oh, we're clever.
I was like, haha, why? Ha, 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 ha.
No, it's like apps and like dating.
Yeah, now that makes
stuff.
Sense. Yeah. I'm an idiot.
Like I said, I'm just a jock.
Yeah.
What a meathead.
She's just a pretty meathead. Sorry, guys. No offense, Sophia.
I am that person from your high school.
You unveil yourself to be like, remember me?
Get off that welfare.
Yeah, I'm a piece of shit. You can follow us on Twitter at ethnicallyamb, us on Instagram at ethnicallyambig, AMBIG. Mm-hmm. You can follow me at Anna Hosni. I'm doing whatever I'm doing.
Yeah, and you can follow me on Twitter. My handle is Sharia. Edit note.
Sharia law.
Edit note. Actually, just keep it in. This is how I talk. I'm stuttering all day. Shiro Hero, Sheero, Hero 666. And then on Instagram, it's just Shiro Hero.
Wow.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for doing the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. You are such a gem.
I've taken
so happy.
Notes to put you in my Russian friend log. What if I was really intense like that?
No, but she already knows that. I want her to teach me, like, improve my Russian. I'm going to teach her Arabic.
You're in my log, too, ever since you went to Russia one time.
She's, we're doing it. She's we're having food.
I know some things. And you Gullah boy. You know?
That was really impressive. Yeah. I did not expect you to just pull that out.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I got things up my sleeve. but next time you hear me, I'm going to be fluent in Russian, and she'll be fluent in Arabic, and we'll have a great old time.
Oh, yeah. So she's going to bite that ass.